I'd like you to turn your Bibles today to Romans chapter 12, the 12th chapter of Romans. If you're visiting today, and I recognize we have several visitors, and we're glad you're here today, we're in a series right now called Gifted, and we're trying to get our minds around this idea of spiritual gifts. What is a spiritual gift, and how do they work, and how do I discover what my gift is, and what is my service or my contribution to the church, and does it really matter if I do my gift or not, or use my gift? And so a lot of things we're learning right now. And we've been talking about how they're structured, really, is really what we've done the last few weeks. We've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's a very famous chapter in Scripture where Paul talks about how the gifts or how the church is like a body. And we had a special guest here a couple of weeks ago from the Lebanon High School Science Department. His name's Jeff. And he showed us that that Paul says the church is kind of like a human body. You know, the human body has all different kinds of parts, and no one part is more important than the other. They all function together. And just like that, anyone who is a Christian, if you're a born-again believer in Christ, you need to be part of a local body, a local church, because that body needs you. They need you to utilize your gift and to serve in that setting. And so we talked about how there's different kinds of gifts. Just like there's different kinds of parts of a human body, there's foundational gifts. And then there's equipping gifts. We looked at that last week out of Ephesians chapter 4 about how God has given some to be pastors and evangelists and teachers to equip the body so that we could grow up to maturity and we could all grow together and not be tossed about by waves of deceit and false doctrine, and how that's a very important gift. But it's not more important than the support gifts or the service gifts. And so today we're going to go to chapter 12, which I believe, and it has other gifts too, but a lot of the gifts in chapter 12 are more of this variety. They're more behind the scenes gifts. Gifts that don't always get the credit that they deserve. And they do deserve credit. And so in that light, I'm calling today's message, Gifts That Most Mothers Model. Because mothers don't always get the credit they deserve, do they? Sometimes, now, I'm not saying you would do this, but sometimes I might be guilty of this. I might take for granted all the things that moms do day in and day out. I mean, where would we be without a mom that made sure we ate what we should, went to bed when we should, studied like we should, even dressed like we should? And isn't it true that moms are some of the most courageous people that I know? And isn't it true that moms always seem to have sage advice like we saw in that video? That was awesome, by the way. And so we need to appreciate our mothers. Now, I know mothers are not perfect. Neither are you, by the way. Neither am I. But we need to honor our moms and our dads. You know, that's very scriptural. God thought that was so important that one of the commandments that he gave us in the Ten Commandments was to honor your father and who? Your mother. That's exactly right. And so I hope that today you can honor your mother. And even if things weren't perfect in your relationship, I hope you can at least honor the fact that she went through what it took to get you here on this earth. So what have you done for mom on Mother's Day? I saw a few things that are kind of cute here. I'll share them with you. These are some things some children did to make the day special for mom. First of all, there was an eight-year-old girl, and she said, Mom, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day, and it's going to be a surprise. P.S., I hope you like pizza and popcorn. Then there was a little boy. Mom, I can't wait to tell you what I... In fact, I'm just going to tell you, I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like it a lot better than that snake I got you last year. Here's a little girl. Mom, I hope you like the flowers I got you for Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mr. Smith wasn't looking. And lastly, this is probably the best one of all. Some of you mothers are going to say amen. Dear Mom, here are two aspirin. Have a happy Mother's Day. Each of these kids loved and appreciated their mothers, and we love and appreciate you as well. And so I want you to be honored today as we think about these service gifts. Gifts that are so important and vital in the body, but they're also vital and important in the proper working of the family. So let's join me together now. Let's get into the scripture. Romans chapter 12. I want to pick up in verse 3 and read the whole section on spiritual gifts. This is another one of those four. I talked about there's four places in scripture in the New Testament where God gives us information about spiritual gifts. And here it is in Romans. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. That sounds an awful lot like 1 Corinthians 12, doesn't it? Now, as we have many parts in one body and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Very similar to what he says in 1 Corinthians 12. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. That's what makes the church so important. That's what's so important about you finding your spot here at this church or whatever church you're in. And then he talks about these gifts. And again, this list doesn't correspond exactly with the one in 1 Corinthians 12 or in 1 Peter 4. But here it is. If it's prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. Here's some service gifts. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Giving, with generosity. Leading, with diligence. Showing mercy, with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time we have to come together around your word today. Thank you not only for this special day, but thank you for this time we've had in this series to think about spiritual gifts. Lord, I thank you that every born-again believer really is not only gifted, but probably has a gift mix, a set of gifts that you've given us that we can use that it is our unique contribution to the body of Christ. Lord, I just pray that you'd continue to help us to get excited about that, to be inquisitive, to be willing to say yes to some of the needs that need to be met in the church, knowing that we very likely might find exactly how you've shaped us to serve, and in that you'll give us a joy and a satisfaction and the Christian life that we've always longed for. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the servant of all. The Bible says, and you said in your word, the Son of Man came to serve and came to seek and to save those who are lost. So Lord, as we come around your word today and we study spiritual gifts, I pray that it would not be lost upon us that we need the gift of the Spirit to exercise spiritual gifts. We must be born again. And I pray that people watching online or those that are here, if that's never happened for them, that once again, they would hear the gospel. The gospel is not going to be the major focus of what I'm sharing today, but would they hear the gospel that Jesus loves them? Jesus died on the cross for their sins. Jesus was buried and God raised him from the dead so that we could repent and believe and be saved and our sins be forgiven. And then we could recover and pursue what we lost when we first sinned and departed from God's design for our lives. Lord, I pray that that would be on the minds of those who need Jesus today. But for others who are saved, I pray that we would just take our next steps toward you, whatever that looks like. And Lord, I pray that mothers that hear this message today would feel honored and would recognize the vital role that they play and would just have a desire to hang in there and keep doing what they're doing. Please help me to preach this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, a lot of times, I'll never forget the first, probably the first time I ever preached on Mother's Day, I preached out of Proverbs 31. And I don't know about you mothers, if you've ever heard that message or a message out of Proverbs 31, sometimes you feel like you just don't measure up. You feel like, man, I could never be what that woman is in Proverbs 31. Well, listen, I know that no mother is perfect, and we all have these times where we think, I wish I'd have done that differently. Maybe there's even something right now in your mind that you're thinking about, I wish would have happened differently. But still, even though you're not perfect, you need to be recognized. You need to be thanked and you need to be honored for who you are. I heard a mom say one time, and I copied this down. She was talking about how people tell me that when my kids grow up, they'll understand all I've done and they'll thank me. Well, I could use a little prepayment on that right now. Some of you just need a little prepayment right now. You need to know that you're doing a good job. You need to know that you are making a difference. You need to know that even if you can't really see the fruit of your labor right now, one day you will. And you just need to hang in there and stay with it and recognize that God has given you some unique gifts and insights that dad doesn't have. Maybe nobody else has, mom has, and mom can share them and mom can use them for her family. Now, those of you that are listening, they're not moms today. You're just part of the body here at Hillcrest, or you're watching online. What you need to know as you listen to this, as I unpack this today, is that you're in here as well. Some of these gifts that I'm going to talk about that most mothers model are gifts that you have. And we need them exercised at Hillcrest. We need you to use these gifts, just like I'm using a gift right now, as we talked about last week, preaching to you and teaching the Word of God. We need our behind-the-scenes gifts. We need people who are going to be serving in these ways I'm going to mention today. So with that in mind, let's take our listening sheets out. And let's take a look at some of these gifts that most mothers model. You ready? All right, let's go. Number one, most mothers are gifted at serving. And not just serving, but serving in practical ways that cause things to run smoothly and efficiently. So a lot of mothers just have this knack for serving their families in practical ways so that things run smoothly and efficiently. That's what we're going to talk about here. Moms just have a knack for serving their kids. I mean, think about it. Who is it that normally, whether you're a grown person now or maybe you're still a child, normally fed you, dressed you, changed you when you were a baby? By the way, I did change a diaper or two when my kids were babies, but I'd say Gina changed a lot more than I did. When we arrive in this world, we can't even turn over on our own. We need mom. And moms never stop serving. Some of you are moms today of adult children, and I bet you're still serving your children. It's just in a mom's DNA. And even though it changes over time, even though those children gradually gain their independence, mom continues to serve them. And it's a huge part of mothering. Now, let me say this. By the way, mothers, you do not have to do this alone. In fact, you shouldn't do it alone. In fact, dad, you need to step up and help mom. You need to be a part of it. Dad can help, and so can other moms, other people in the church that have maybe been down the road a little farther than you. And by the way, don't forget to bring the Lord into it either. The Lord wants to share your burdens. Bring your burdens to the Lord and He will help you. But you know what? There are some who are in the body of Christ who are kind of like these mothers that serve in practical ways. You're just able to serve. You're able to meet needs behind the scenes. You don't want attention brought to yourself. Isn't that just like a mother? But you need to serve in the body of Christ. And so let's talk about that just for a moment. The gift here in Romans 12 is called service. There's another gift in 1 Corinthians 12:28. We already looked at that a couple weeks ago, but it's called helps. I'm going to put the two together as one. I think the word helps in 1 Corinthians 12 is essentially the same gift as this gift of service in Romans chapter 12. Now, words matter in Scripture, and so let's think about the words that are used here. There's a word that's used that's translated service in Romans 12. It's the same Greek word where we get the word deacon. If you ever wondered what a deacon was in a church, well, he's not a CEO. He's not the guy that keeps the pastor in line, although he might have to do that sometimes. He's a servant. The word literally means to wait on someone, to care for someone's need. And this is a classic mother trait. Someone has said, real mothers are selfless when it comes to their children. They'll put up with dirty diapers, throwing up, spitting up, crying for hours. They give up their time and their sanity because this child is theirs. They are selfless because they are real mothers. And the same is true for servants in the church. They just see needs that need to be met. And they don't want the attention or the glory for it. They just do it. They do it because it's necessary. They do it because they want the church to function well and everything to run efficiently and smoothly. They love to meet needs in practical ways. Some of you are out there thinking, I never did see that as a spiritual gift. I just thought I was doing what needed to be done. Remember, you're part of the body of Christ and God knows how He's made you. And God needs you to meet those practical needs. And just like mothers a lot of times don't get a lot of thanksgiving, I'm saying today, thank you. You know, often you don't get that, right? You don't get a public thank you to the servers, but I'm thankful for people who serve in all kinds of ministries behind the scenes. Oh yeah, let's take a look at this other word. The word that is translated helps in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. It's a different word. It's a different Greek word. And that word means to take hold of something, to provide assistance. It's the ability to assist or support in practical ways. And it refers to guidance and expertise. Isn't that true of moms? Moms are good at providing guidance and expertise. Kind of like that video showed a few minutes ago, right? You know what? Sometimes if we're wondering how we should dress for a certain occasion, we ask mom. Or if we wonder what would be a good choice for colleges, we ask mom. Or even maybe even dating and relationship advice, we ask mom. And so this is, again, the ability to assist and support others. What does this look like in the church? Well, what it looks like in the church is a person who takes the worry and the strain off the guys who are up here. It might be that person that works in the sound booth, or that person that runs a bus ministry, or that person who visits shut-ins. It's a person who doesn't compete with the one in public ministry. They're quite content to work in private. In fact, they don't even want to be up front. But they do want everything to run well. And they do what they do with a willing spirit. You don't have to prod them or motivate them to come. They're self-motivated. They delight in serving without recognition. They want to assist, but never for attention. They're humble and they focus on needs. You say, well, Pastor, are there some people like that in Scripture? You're talking about modern day examples. Well, yes, there are. There are several people mentioned like that in Scripture. But let me tell you something. You're not going to recognize their names unless you are really, really into the Bible. Their names are Epaphras, Epaphroditus, Tabitha, Onesimus, and Phoebe. They're kind of the behind the scenes workers, aren't they? And they like it that way. But here's what I'm trying to say. They're vital to the ministry of the church. So people who serve, who have this service gift and they use it well, they please our Savior. They model our Savior. Let me share a scripture and then we'll move on. Mark chapter 10 verses 43 and 44. Whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. One last thing before we move on. Moms need to know how much they are loved and appreciated as they do all of the things behind the scenes to make things run smoothly and efficiently. Here's the second one. Now, we've already kind of hit on this a little bit with our video, but most mothers are gifted at exhorting. But hear me out. Don't chuckle right now. They are good at exhorting in ways that encourage and motivate. Encourage and motivate. Here's this other gift I want to unpack for a little bit. It's in verse 8. If exhorting in exhortation, mothers are good exhorters, aren't they? Some kids need more encouragement. Other kids need more motivation, right? Which were you growing up, or which are you today if you're a child? Do you need more encouragement, or do you need more, let's say, motivation to get ready for church or to get ready for school? Mothers are very good at exhorting. The late Irma Bombeck once wrote this. She said, when your mother asks you if you want a piece of advice, it's just a formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no, you're going to get it anyway. Isn't that true? And isn't that what we think about too? When we think about an exhorter, someone with the gift of exhortation, we think about somebody who's bossy and they love to lecture or scold or command. But here's what I'm trying to say. The gift is really more than that. All right, I want you to understand this gift a little bit, okay? It's true of mothers and it's true of servants in the church. Do you know what the Greek word used for that is right here, this word exhortation? It's the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit by Jesus in John chapter 15 and 16. Remember where Jesus says, I'm sending a comforter. I'm sending a counselor, one who will guide you and come alongside and help. That's the word. Parakaleo. Two words put together, a Greek compound word, para, kaleo, literally means one called alongside to help. And that's what a true exhorter does. Now, they may have to say some hard things to you, and they don't mind to do it, and they know how to do it. But you can be sure that they do it out of love. They do it because they love you. And that's why I said earlier, I said this a couple weeks ago, an exhorter is usually a really good counselor. Actually, a gift mix that an exhorter usually has is teaching and counseling. Now, I'm not going to talk about teaching today because I talked about it last week, but that's what a true exhorter does. They're very good at practical application regarding Scripture. You can walk in and hear them talk about Scripture, and later on you'll think, wow, I see how that fits. I see how that works in my life. They're also very observant and very aware, and they're good students of life. They know how to apply truth in the home, at work, and at church. And not only are they willing to say hard things, but they're able to say it in a way that's encouraging and motivating. Rather than you just say, well, I'm out, I quit, I'm never going to try this again. You're like, okay, I'm ready to try it another way. I'm ready to go at this again. And they do it in a way that offers hope and prompts action. I thought about a verse of Scripture. I had to look it up on my phone to remember where it was, but I'm reminded of this Scripture in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6 when I think about exhorters, whether it's mom being my exhorter or whether it's somebody in the church. But listen to Proverbs 27, 6. It's up on the screen. The wounds of a friend are trustworthy, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive. And so exhorters are good counselors and they're good teachers. By the way, you say, well, what's the difference between the two? Isn't it kind of the same? Well, I wrote these things down. I thought this would be helpful. A teacher communicates the facts about Scripture clearly and accurately. The exhorter motivates the listener to respond to the facts. The teacher explains the what of Scripture. The exhorter explains the how of Scripture. The teacher gets really excited about the truth. Like, man, I get to share truth out of the Word today to you. But the exhorter gets excited by the way that truth can make a difference in your life. I can come out of here a different person today. And so we need exhorters. And listen, even if an exhorter has to exercise discipline, and moms have to discipline, don't they? And that's not always just wait till your dad comes home. Sometimes mom is a disciplinarian. They know how to restore your spirit, get you back on the right track. You know that they love you. And by the way, I'm glad that mom's discipline. You ought to be glad too. We all ought to be glad about that. Because you know what discipline has to do with? It has to do with building and correcting character while there's still time to do it. I'd much rather a mom be correcting a child than a probation officer later on. Oftentimes it's too late by then. It's tragic when children are not disciplined in their homes. And most mothers are gifted at exhorting in ways that encourage and motivate. Number three, most mothers are gifted at giving. And they do it generously, frequently, and cheerfully. Here it is in verse 8, the next gift, giving. If your gift is giving, do it with generosity, is what the Christian Standard Translation says. Now, when we think about givers, we think about that well-heeled person. A giver is not necessarily wealthy, but they are generous and unselfish. That's how Paul describes them here in verse 8. The word that's used here has the idea of sincerity, generosity, and even purity. What I mean by purity is you're not giving with an ulterior motive. I'm not giving to get something or giving because I want to put my thumb on somebody. It's just pure giving because you love that person. You care about him. You love that church. You care about that ministry. No strings attached. No underlying motives. And isn't that just like a mother? How many times do mothers sacrifice themselves? Giving sacrificially. Doing without. Single mothers. Taking on a second job. Doing whatever is necessary to put that child through school or children through school. Man, my hat is off to mothers who give sacrificially. Givers are like that in church. They're similar to those with serving or helping gifts. But the difference is their focus. Their focus is on their willingness to give resources to help certain ministries to thrive and be what they need to be. And they don't keep records of what they give necessarily. They don't grumble when the opportunity comes to give. They're like, okay, here the pastor's tapping me again. In fact, they don't even have to be asked by the pastor. They simply give because they see needs that need to be met. And they don't have to be coerced. There's an example in Scripture about this. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus by birth, who was also called Barnabas. Now we know who he is. This is a guy we know. in verse 37, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Do you know there's even a whole church that's celebrated in Philippians, the church of Philippi? In chapter 4, we won't take time to read it today, but verses 14 to 19, Paul commends them for being a great giving church. And they weren't a wealthy church either. So there is this gift of giving. And that's what we need to thank moms for as well. We ought to thank our moms for being great givers, because every one of our mothers at some time or other has been unselfish for our behalf. Reminds me of a story. You're going to love this story. But years ago, I'm not a country music fan, but I did hear about this song. There was a country song that told a story about how a kid gave a bill to his mom. This kid was tired of doing chores all the time, like mowing the lawn and making his bed, picking up his room, folding his laundry. And so he made this big list, and he was charging his mom for all these things that he had to do week in and week out. And so he had given thought about how much he needed to be paid, and he presented his list to his mom. His mom looked at that list and kind of grinned and pondered it, and then she gave him her own list. And on her list, she said, "For bringing you into the world, no charge. For rocking you all night long, no charge. For wiping your nose and bandaging your knees and kissing 1,000 owies, no charge. For staying up all night worrying about you, no charge." Well, one guy heard about this song, and he was so guilty about it, he went to his mom and he said, "How can I thank you?" And she said, "I want the money." So, isn't that great? But moms are great givers, and we need to thank them. We need to thank them and honor them for what they do. Number four, most mothers are gifted at organizing and leading with vision and tenacity. They organize and lead. That's what verse eight again says, leading with diligence. Now, I talked about leadership roles last week again in the pastor teacher, the shepherd of the church. But there's another kind of leader, and I'm going to link this with the same word in 1 Corinthians 12. It's a different word actually, but the word in 12:28 of 1 Corinthians is administration. So I'm linking administration and leadership together. This idea is a very interesting one. It's to set before, to preside over, to govern or superintend, and to do it with diligence, enthusiasm, creativity, and calmness. You know what the word used for that in 1 Corinthians 12 is? It's a nautical term. This is amazing. It was a term that talked about a pilot or someone who guided a large ship, a helmsman. Rarely used word. So think about this guy guiding a large ship through a storm or through rocks without panicking. Very skillfully leading the vessel to a place of safety. Isn't that what moms do? Again, listen to Irma Bombeck. I've got another Bombeck. I'm doing Irma today. But I love this. She says, children are like kites. You spend years trying to get them off the ground. You run with them until you're both breathless. They crash. They hit the roof. You patch, comfort, and assure them that someday they will fly. Finally, they're airborne. They need more string, and you keep letting it out, and the kite becomes more distant. And you know it won't be long before that beautiful creature will snap the lifeline that binds you together and will soar as meant to soar, free and alone. Only then do you know that you've done your job. And that's what people with administration do. It's a stand-up person who leads ministries diligently. They have vision to see how things ought to be and how to see it through to the very end. They're organized people. They're responsible and patient and reliable. They're visionary. By the way, a church is a place of many projects. There's a lot of projects that we have going on. I can't oversee all of them. I couldn't even begin to. That's why I need you if you have this gift. We need people who will lead in different areas of ministry. And we need at Hillcrest your administrative touch. Number five, most mothers are gifted at showing mercy and compassion to their hurting children. Here's this gift of mercy. I love this gift. We've talked about it a little bit before, but in verse 8, if your gift is showing mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Most mothers are just naturally more gentle than dad or anyone else. I don't know. I was a little rambunctious with my kids. Usually my wife was like, "Well, you settle down. You're just another big kid with them." But whenever you fall and skin your knee or get hurt, who do you run to, or did you run to? Usually it's mom, isn't it? Because moms are just gifted at mercy and gentleness. And they know how to soothe you sensitively when you're hurting, just like we saw in that video a little bit. And that's a good place right now to kind of remind our moms with young children here today that your kids need you to share life with them. In fact, you need to really make sure that they're your priority right now, time-wise. They're not going to be this young forever, and you need to make sure that you spend the time that they need. They need your priority because they grow up fast. I saw this quote by Barbara Bush back when Barbara was the first lady, and Barbara said this at a college graduation. She said, at the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, not winning one more verdict, or closing one more deal. You will regret time not spent with a husband or a friend or a child or a parent. If you have children, they must come first. You must read to your children, hug your children, love your children. Your success as a family, our success as a society, depends not on what happens at the White House, but what happens inside your house. Isn't that a good word? That's a good word. And so mothers are good comforters. And you know what? Some of you in this church, you have the gift of mercy. And you just have a knack for the person who's hurting. You see them. You can enter into their hurt. And you know how to send a note or a word at just the right time. Or even just to be present. You may not have to say anything. But you have the gift of mercy. Listen, please don't stop using your gift. Because the needs are great. The sorrows are many. The hurts are deep. We need comforters. We need people with the gift of mercy in our church. And then lastly, today, most mothers are gifted at maintaining faith and determination as they raise their children. Faith and determination. Again, faith is not listed in Romans 12. I'm getting this back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, where it says to one, verse 8 says to one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, another a message of knowledge. And then in verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Moms need faith, don't they? Because without it, they face pressure and weight, and it's going to be more than you can take. You got to have faith and determination to be successful as a mom. So just let me give you this advice, and then I'll move on. Every time you're tempted to worry, recognize that it's also an invitation to have faith. Faith that God is with you. Faith that God is helping you. Faith in that son or daughter. And in one sense, every Christian has faith, right? But Paul here is referring to a different kind of faith, cut from a different cloth. This is a person who can believe God in such a way that they can see what God is going to do and stand firm without wavering and cling with great faith. And other people are drawn to that. And other people in the church need that. We need people of great faith. Paul had this gift, and I read this a couple weeks ago, so I won't take time today, but he exercised it when he was on that ship bound for Rome, and they were lost at sea for days in a great storm, and he told the men on the ship that not a one of you is going to perish. And they took faith in that. How did Paul know that? Paul knew that because he had a vibrant prayer relationship and a great faith in God. And so we need that. We need people who have faith. Listen, here's what I want to say before I close today. Moms, you're doing a great job. You are exactly what your kids need and what your families need. And I want to just remind you of what it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. One of these days, your kids are going to rise up and call you blessed. Hang in there. And those of you in the church that heard this message, some of these gifts are yours. You need to exercise them. So we can be a healthy body and we can have our needs met and we can be growing and vibrant and reaching our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads now and close our eyes. As our praise team comes back on the stage, again, I don't know how the Lord spoke to you during this message, but I'm going to pray for you and then we're going to have an invitation and we're going to sing in that invitation. We're going to worship the Lord, but we also have an opportunity if you need to come forward. Maybe you want to come and pray for your family today. Maybe you have some burden that you need to just take to the Lord right now and you need to come to the altar and do that. Maybe somebody today needs to join our church. Maybe somebody needs to talk to this pastor about how to be saved. I would love to lead you in a prayer. Nothing magic about the prayer, but the prayer just shows what's in your heart and you can be set free today. Whatever it is, I just pray that you'd be very, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit right now We do want to worship and praise and honor the Lord in this closing song, but we also want to be sensitive to how the Spirit is moving. Father, I thank you so much for this time we've had just to look at your word today and continue to understand spiritual gifts. Thank you for how we are fearfully and wonderfully made as human beings. Thank you for how you put the family unit together. You're an awesome God. Thank you for how you put churches together. And you call different people together with different gifts and skills and abilities so that we can be a blessing to one another. Humbly, we can honor and edify and bless, we can honor you and bless and edify one another. Lord, I just pray that somebody here today who needs to do something would have the courage to do that. Maybe they're hurting and they just need to come and pray at the altar. Maybe they need to rededicate their lives. Maybe somebody needs to be saved. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't leave this place today on this Mother's Day without getting right to, with you and taking steps toward you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you again for the richness of your word and how it just is so wonderful to think about a God who is over it all and a God who loves us and will never leave or forsake us. We love you. Great are you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.